a very prominent situation we have in all of our congregations, all over church land, everywhere, is the issue of what we would call Lashon Hara, or the evil tongue. Lashon Hara is defined as gossip, slander, murmuring, lying, etc. In Judaism, there's a whole system in place to deal with this problem, and essentially it bolts down to this. If you don't have something nice to say about someone, then don't say anything at all. And this includes even thinking about it. The problem today is what we think is that we think we are being righteous when we share what we perceive to be wrong about someone else. But this is what is the heart of the problem. It's our perception that causes us to commit Lashon Hara, all in the name of the kingdom of God. We would be better off minding our own business and reflecting on our own actions and words than worrying about everyone else. So with that in mind, let's take a look at what the scriptures have to say about Lashon Hara. And so let's first start out with sharing what scripture has to say about forgiveness and resolving disputes. So you might say we're putting the cart before the horse, but our intention is to show how we are supposed to treat one another, and then we will proceed on and show what scripture has to say about that little part of our body, which is huge, called the tongue. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, then Kepha, Peter, called to him and said, "My master, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times." And Yeshua said to him, "I say not to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at the proper biblical procedure for resolving disputes. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. "And if your brother sins against you, go and reprove him between you and him alone. And if he will hear you, you have won your brother. But if he will not hear you, take to yourself one witness or two, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established," according to Deuteronomy 19, 15. "And if he will not hear them, speak to him in the assembly. But if he neglects to hear in the assembly, let him be to you as a heathen or as a transgressor." This is the basis for forgiving one another and how to go about resolving disputes with your brethren. Nowhere do we see any instruction about sharing our problem with others before we first attempt to resolve our problems with our brothers or sisters. And nowhere do we see instruction allowing us to share gossip about anyone who we are having a problem with. Rather than going behind someone's back and discussing them with someone not directly involved in the situation, we would be better serving Hashem by going one-on-one straight to our brother or sister. One of the hardest things to do is to withdraw your words once they have gotten out of your lips. Job 27, 3 and 4. "But as long as my soul is within me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak iniquity, and my tongue, Lashon, shall not utter deceit." These words come straight from the mouth of Job. I would encourage you to think about that because of the situation that Job was put through. If after what he had gone through, he could still utter the words that we should not speak evil or utter lies, then we had better reflect on what we are saying and doing in the name of God, because we cannot justify Lashon Hara when Job would not lower himself to do that. Psalm 5:10. "For there is no sincerity in the mouth of any of them. Their inner thought is treacherous, their throat an open grave, their tongue is glib." This is pretty intense here in what David, in what the writer of this psalm is saying. There is no truth coming from their mouths, and their innermost thoughts are treacherous, and their throats, from which comes forth their words, are compared to an open grave. These words being spoken here give us the very clear idea of exactly how God views our words, especially those that come forth as slander or as gossip. And yet we know that many will read will listen to what we're saying here or read it after we wrote down what we said and say that this doesn't apply to them. All they're doing is sharing what they heard themselves, and I'm going to tell you that is the problem. Whether they have heard it firsthand for themselves or if they've heard it second or third hand, it should never have been repeated except in the context of what we are shown in Matthew. Anything other than that is a violation of Scripture as shown by God. That is the bottom line, plain and simple. Psalm 10:7, his mouth is filled with false oaths, with deception and malice. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. And Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5, a psalm by David, Lord, who may sojourn in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy mountain? One who walks in perfect innocence and does what is right and speaks the truth from his heart, who has no slander on his tongue, who has done his fellow no evil, nor cast disgrace upon his close one, in whose eyes are a contemptible person is repulsive, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who can swear to his detriment without retracting, who lends not his money on interest and takes not a bribe against the innocent. The doer of these shall not falter forever. When you look at those two passages from Psalms, do you see which individual God honors and who it is that he says will dwell on his holy mountain? Yeah, the one whose lips are clean. Do you realize how seriously God takes the sin of slander? This is not just the act of speaking ill of someone, but this involves gossip, things that you have heard that sound true, but yet they have not been verified and they are passed on to others. We need to be very careful about what comes out of our mouths. Remember that our mouths have been compared to the grave. It is so much more difficult to take back what we've said in anger or hurt than it is to keep our mouths shut in the first place. No matter how truthful or right we may think that we are, the old adage is true. Think before you speak. Psalm 34:14, guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And Psalm 39:2, I said, I will guard my ways from sinning with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle, even while the wicked one stands before me. Very interesting choice of words here, in that David says that he will guard his mouth with a muzzle if necessary. Sometimes I feel like that, but usually it's after I've spoke when it should have been before. I do it too. The words that can come from our tongues can bring us to sin. Usually we say what we're thinking, and yet we may not intend for it to be so. So what does this mean to us? That we must first learn to train our thoughts as well as our tongues. I have a facetious and sarcastic way about me. I'll tell you, I say things I should not most of the time. I've been accused of making jokes when I should be serious. I apologize to that. It's just the way I am. Jokes hide my insecurities, I guess. It's a defensive mechanism I've built over the years. Others in my family were like this, so I could claim that it was in my genes. But that really would be no excuse. But it can serve as an explanation of my actions, though. I'm not going to blame it on other people. I am responsible for me. I have been striving most of my adult life to tame my tongue and have most of the time failed miserably at it. I have made a concerted effort over the past couple of years to do better. And with the help of my wife and family and congregation, I am doing better. But I still have a long way to go. I am not there, believe me. No matter how right I feel that I am not supposed to strike out at others in a hurtful way, and that is exactly what I've done many times. Once again, the old adage comes to mind, think before you speak. Psalm 50:19 through 23, you dispatched your mouth for evil and your tongue adheres to deceit. You sit and speak against your brother, you slander your mother's son. These have you done and I kept silent. You thought that I was like you. I will rebuke you and lay it clearly before your eyes. Understand this now, you who have forgotten God, lest I tear you asunder and there be none to rescue. He who offers confession honors me, and he who orders his way, I will show him the salvation of God. Speaking ill of someone is equated with not knowing God. That's pretty hard. But if we repent, we are honoring God. And in doing that, we can receive the salvation of God. The salvation that comes through repentance and acceptance of Yeshua. Repentance is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing cleansing experience. You don't repent and say, I'm done. Let's go watch TV. We live it out each and every day that we're here on this planet. And we live it out before Him. We live it out before our brothers and those who do not know God or Yeshua. That's who we live it out in front of. Psalm 52, verses 4 through 6. Your tongue devises treachery like a sharpened razor that works deceit. You loved evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking righteousness. You have loved all devouring words, a tongue of deceit. I'll tell you one thing that's coming out from these passages of Scripture. The tongue is associated with deceit in that the Word of God is saying that our tendency is to do evil rather than speak words of righteousness. Why do you think this is? Think carefully about it. Our tongues are compared to a sharpened razor. They slice and dice and leave our brothers and sisters lying in our wake, battered and bruised, trying to figure it out what it was that hit them. How many times have you experienced that? We expect this type of behavior from those we say are of the world, but from fellow believers in Messiah Yeshua. Oh my, what has come out of the mouths of those who claim to know Yeshua? We have done more damage to our brothers and sisters in Messiah. And what kind of an example have we been to those who do not even know Yeshua? We need to clean up our acts, people. Psalm 57, verse 5, my soul is among lions. I lie with men who are aflame, people whose teeth are spears and arrows, and whose tongue is a sharp sword. Razors and swords and evil and deceit. Boy, our tongues are not being described very flatteringly here, are they? And elsewhere in Scripture, I am only touching the surface too. I would encourage you to do an in-depth study, not only of the tongue, but do associated word studies on gossip, on slander, etc. in the Bible. This can be a very fascinating study and can show us things that we really don't want to see about ourselves. We really have to stop and take a close look at ourselves. We spend way too much time and effort looking at our brothers and sisters when we should be doubling that effort on ourselves. There is a scripture that instructs us to remove the beam from our own eye first before we look on our brothers and sisters and judge them. Correction in love is one thing, judgment is another. Psalm 64, verses 3 through 5. Hide me from the counsel of the wicked, from the assembly of evildoers, who have sharpened their tongue like the sword and drawn their arrow, a bitter word, to shoot in stealth at the innocent. Suddenly they shoot him, and they are unafraid. Are you beginning to see a pattern forming here? The tongue is as bad as the sword and can do more damage in some cases than the actual weapon itself. The sword can wound the body and even bring death, but the tongue can bring hurt to the spirit. The body can heal, and in time so can the spirit, but a lot of times we leave the person that we have turned our tongues on in a very vulnerable position, and they are very susceptible to further hurt. I know of which I speak at times with a wicked tongue. What I mean is that I say things that can be hurtful when I should not have. I do it. Instead of being physically abusive, I am verbally abusive. And that can be more demeaning to the person I aim my words at than actual physically harming them. I don't make excuses for myself or my actions, and I have had on more than one occasion had to ask for forgiveness for my words. I now try to watch what I say, but I slip up from time to time. But I have finally come to the point where if I can't not say anything nice about someone, I try not to say anything at all. I am by nature a pessimist, believe me. You don't know that about me. I'm looking at the cup half empty instead of half full. I do that. My reasoning for this is that if things do not turn out the way I would like them to, I am not that disappointed. But that attitude can carry over and infect every aspect of your life, including not only your relationship with those close to you and those around you, but it will also affect your relationship with God. Psalm 109, 2 through 5. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken to me the language of falsehood. And with the words of hatred they have encircled me, and they have attacked me without cause. In return for my love, they accused me, but I was prayer. They placed upon me evil in return for good, and hatred in return for my love. Regarding verse 4, the rabbinic commentary says, my love for them was genuine as I would pray on their behalf. In other words, despite what evil came upon David, he prayed for those that caused evil to befall him. Where else have we seen this instruction? Well, in the scriptures, in the apostles' scriptures, pray for those who spitefully use you. Love your enemy. These words were spoken by Messiah Yeshua, and they take love to a whole new level. No matter what evil someone may bring upon us, we are to lift them up in prayer. And do you know what? Praying for those who are against you will bring you release from the anger that you store up inside of you. Praying for those who have come against you in word and deed will change you, and it can change the person or persons who hurt you. I'm sure that all of us can relate to situations where we have been slandered and hurt by those we thought were our friends. If we let that hurt simmer, it will fester like a saw and become infected with unforgiveness on our part. But when we lift them up in prayer and lift up the situation in prayer, God brings healing to our spirits. In bringing healing to our spirits, healing can come to our physical beings as well. It has been shown that prayer works and can touch our physical bodies as well as our spirit. Don't go toe-to-toe with those who come against you. Love them and pray for them. Speak only good things about them. If you speak good of them, sooner or later you'll begin to see the good in every bad situation. Psalm 120, verses 2 and 3. Lord, rescue my soul from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What can he give you and what can he add to you, O deceitful tongue? It is here that we see the tongue and the words that come forth from our mouths harm the soul, the nephesh, which gives us life from where our emotions come from. When I talk about life being from the soul, I mean that in the sense that the soul is what brings us into being. The life force that exists within us is the soul. This is that part of God that exists within us that makes us like him in the sense that we have the emotions that our Creator has. But it is the Ruach, or Spirit of God, that brings even more of our Creator into our very makeup, the part that connects us to our Heavenly Father and joins us to the living Word, Yeshua. Nowhere in Scripture do I see God as human and emotional as he is in chapter 32 of Exodus in our Torah portion for today. He gets mad at the people down there, and he causes Moses to think that they are his people. God says, they're not my people, they're your people. Let me stew a while. And then he finally relents. But God stewed. Man, isn't that something? That's human. Proverbs 10:31. The mouth of a righteous one speaks wisdom, but a duplicitous, can't read that, tongue will be cut off. Proverbs 12:19. True speech is established forever, but a false tongue is only for a moment. You know, I never realized just how much the Bible has to say about the tongue and the words that we speak with it. The slander or falsehood that comes from our mouths will not last forever, even though in our society it seems to be the gossip that lasts longer than the truth. What does that say about our society? Are we a God-based society that draws its laws from the Torah of God? Or are the lies that come from that great deceiver, Hasatan? Very interesting. I was talking to my doctor who's going to do my knee surgery on Thursday. He's a devout Irish Catholic guy, O'Malley, what a wonderful man. He says, you know, the further you get away from the Torah, I didn't even know he knew what the word Torah meant, this doctor. He says, the further you get away from the Torah and these institutions, the more political it gets. Wow, what a statement from an Irish bone doctor. How many build their foundation on the rock? And I don't mean prudential. I mean Yeshua. And the words that he gave us to establish us, those are the Torah. The truth is established forever. That means forever. You know what forever means? Forever. In this passage, the Hebrew word used forever is not the one that is usually used. Here they use the word ad. And ad means perpetuity, forever, continuing, future, ancient of past time, forever, of future time, of continuous existence, forever, of God's existence. How long is God going to last? Forever. How long is that? Longer than 6 o'clock tonight. In most passages that use forever, the Hebrew word olam is used. But the meaning of the Hebrew word used here, ad, mirrors that, what olam means. It has always existed, and it will always exist. The truth will always be while falsehood will not. So it may be that our society thrives on the falsehoods that abound today, but in the end, the truth will be left standing. When all is said and done, what comes out of the smoke? The truth. Proverbs 15:4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but corruption of it is damage to the spirit. The tree of life in Jewish thought is equated with what? The Torah. But even more than that, we as believers in Messiah Yeshua realize that Yeshua is the living Torah. Amen? The living tree of life who brings soothing to our souls and to our spirits. The message that he brings is one of shalom, of one of peace that passes all understanding. But nevertheless, it is a peace that we so desperately need. But our words of anger and hate and mistrust and the gossip that we bring into the body do nothing but tear the body of Messiah apart. Where is the love? Where is the love that we are supposed to have for not only one another, but for those who gossip against us? Where is the forgiveness that we are to freely give? People of God, repent and be forgiven. We forgive those who come against us. Yeshua instructed us to forgive those who trespass against us. And he further instructed us to forgive 7 times 70 to those who trespass against us. How many times is that? 490 or more. Do you know what it says? National Pi Day, 3.1415. They have a whole day to celebrate that. Maybe they should have a National Forgiveness Day and they could go 70 times 7. This is not an easy thing to do, my friends. It's hard to forgive. Forgiving without strings attached ain't easy. Remember that even if you do try to not only forgive but apologize for your part in the misunderstanding and it is not accepted by the other party, you have done what you were instructed to do. And now all you can do is turn it over to God in prayer. You remember I tell you, your job is to go out and plant seeds. Your job is not to argue with people, to bring them into the kingdom. You're not going to save anyone, not one of you. Not one person in here is going to save anybody. I have people coming up to me all the time. I saved 20 people last week. I saved a Jew. You didn't save anybody. Only God can save. Your job is to plant seeds and move on. And when you plant seeds, you go there and you plant seeds. That's what you do next. You don't sit there and debate the finer points of the Torah with them. So you just apologize and move on. Ask for forgiveness, move on. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer is attentive to iniquitous speech. I'm from Brooklyn, so I don't speak well. A false person listens to a destructive tongue. Proverbs 17:20, the perverse of heart will not find good, and one duplicitous, there it is again, in his tongue will fall into evil. God, watch what you say. Learn how to pronounce it. Solomon is the accepted writer of Proverbs, and especially when you're standing out in front of a bunch of people. Solomon is the accepted writer of Proverbs, and he has been blessed with God with the gift of wisdom. Remember Solomon, wisdom? And yet even in that superior wisdom, it did him no good in the end because he followed after the gods of many of his 800 wives. Wow, that's a lot. And turned away from God, and it was because of Solomon's sin that the United Kingdom of Israel got ripped in two. They came up with two countries. The words North Israel and South Israel. Israel and Judah. The words of his wives brought Solomon down from the heights of being blessed by God to the depths of being lost in idolatry. We need to take this as an example for us in our lives, that one day we can be close to Yeshua and the next day be very far away and not realize just how far we have drifted off course. Don't take much. This brings to mind that many people that I have known over the years who, while once professing faith in Yeshua, come into the truth of what the Bible really has to say about their Hebraic roots, but as they journey from their place in Christianity towards a better and fuller understanding of Hebraic and Jewish roots, they begin to look to the traditions and the customs of the Jewish faith while taking their eyes off the author of that faith, Yeshua. Ultimately, and I've personally seen this, some of us have all seen this, they embrace Judaism and they reject Yeshua. We've had it happen 4 times, 5 times in this congregation. Guard your faith, my brothers and sisters. Guard your faith and cherish what you have. Cling to God, cling to Yeshua, and call upon the Ruach HaKodesh. If you don't know what that is, it's the Holy Spirit to fill you up with the might and power of the Holy One of Israel. Rejoice in your Messiah, Yeshua, and give thanks to his Father. His Father is God, who asked him to give up his life for us. Can you ask your child to give up their life for one of us? No, that'd be very hard to do. But he did. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love to use it will eat its fruit. Truer words were never spoken. Life and death are in our mouths and come forth from our tongues. Do you try to bring life or death through your tongue? Do you try to speak kind words or words that bring hurt and pain? I've spoken words over the years that have brought hurt to many. And I have been on the receiving ends of words that have really hurt me too. We have the power of life and death in our mouths. We need to keep a tight rein on our tongues and what we say with it. Build up, do not tear down. How many of our lives have been destroyed by the power of words? Oh, you'll never amount to anything. You're no good. And some of us accept that. And some of us say, no, I'm not. I'm really great. And I'm going to prove you wrong. Well, that's determined a lot of our lives, I'll bet you, if I take a survey. Whoa, Proverbs 25:23, as the north wind brings forth rain, so does stealthily slander bring forth an angry face. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it oppresses, but a smooth mouth will turn the hatred back. And then Jeremiah gets into it in chapter 9, verse 7 or 8, depending on your Bible. Their tongue is like a drawn arrow speaking deceit. With his mouth, one speaks peace with his fellow, but inside of him he lays ambush. Are you seeing just how powerful our tongues are? Just a small thing, you can't even hold it. Do you see how just much bad our tongues can do when we use them for the purpose of speaking gossip? These things do not glorify God. Guess what? They do not glorify God. Speak the words of truth, emet. And understand that the word of emet, truth, is the Torah. The Torah is Yeshua. Yeshua is truth. Gossip and slander do not come from the mouth of the Son of God. You never heard him say any of that stuff. We are called to imitate him. Are you? WWJD, WWYD, what would Yeshua do? He wouldn't lie. He wouldn't hurt or slander anybody. Do your words divide the body of Messiah? Or do your words bring it together? I've seen a lot of people here who have divided us. Has a root of bitterness taken hold of you? Has someone who is close to you spoken words that have hurt you and have let that resentment take root in your spirit and now is festering like an open wound? Forgive. Forgive. Even if the offending party does not forgive you or does not want to speak with you, forgive. It will be like a soothing balm to your spirit once you let go of your root of bitterness. No matter how right you may feel or justified in your anger, let it go. I had to go through forgiveness. I had to forgive all these people, and I just couldn't do it. I had so much anger against all these people in my life. I had to forgive them for me to get straightened out. I had to forgive myself for what I did to myself before I could even forgive anyone else. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? Do you care about yourself? Who's your worst enemy? Yourself? You need to forgive yourself and then forgive others. And you need to forgive them, not for their sake, but for yours. Because you cannot move on until you forgive them. Me and my father, I hated my father for what he did. Hid my mother from me for 40 years. When I finally met her, I was so angry at him. Oh, I could have killed him. Fortunately, I was 1,300 miles away. Fortunate for him. But I had to forgive him. Even though I never spoke more than 20 minutes to him at a time in my whole life, I had to forgive him and tell him I loved him. I did it over the phone, but I did it for myself, not for him. But I also forgave him, and it got better. Our relationship got better. No matter how right you may feel or justified in your anger, let it go. Allow the Spirit of God and His love to flow through your innermost being and bring you life everlasting. You must first forgive before you can be forgiven. You want to get forgiven? You got to forgive. This forgiveness from you frees up God to pour out His healing love upon you and then allows your prayers to come before the throne of God. Why aren't my prayers getting answered? Well, gee, maybe I've got this stuff locked up in me. The tongue brings life or death. What is going to be for you? I choose life. Is that in Scripture somewhere? Yeah. I choose to tame that wild member of my body and bring it into submission, not just to me, but to God. I choose to allow Yeshua to work through me, not in spite of me. James chapter 3, 5 and 6 and verse 8. So also the tongue is a small member and it exalts itself. I'm sorry, verse 3. Also, a little fire causes large forests to burn. How do you start a large forest fire? With a match. And the tongue is a fire, and the world of sin is like a forest. All those big fires in California, you see them on TV, destroy thousands of homes. One match starts them. And the tongue, though it is one among the members, defiles our whole body and sets on fire the successions of our generations that roll on as wheels. And it burns also with fire. But the tongue, no man is able to subdue this evil. When it is not restrained, it is the full poison of death. If we take the time to think about these scriptures, you will see that the tongue and the words that come from it hold a lot of power for something small, so small in our body. We have laid out for us in the Bible the means to resolve any difference that we may have with one another. Why is it that we cannot follow the scriptural dictates as shown to us in the book of Matthew? They are very simple to do and give us a system that obviously was used by the Shalachim, the apostles, in their dealings with the congregations that they planted and among themselves. We see biblical evidence that there was a Beit Din, or a house of judgment, that was in place within the community of believers, at least in Jerusalem. We see that Peter and Paul both submitted to this house of judgment, this Beit Din, and that James was the head, or in Hebrew, the Nasi, or president of that Beit Din. If we order our congregational disputes being resolved around this format, I believe that things would be so much easier if everybody did that. But in doing this, we need to know that our leaders are above reproach. So I have to show you that I am, and that our leaders are in submission to the Torah. All of our elders, all of our leaders here are in submission to the Torah. And we have to show that to you in the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we act. The Torah is the constitution of Israel. It's going to be Yeshua's constitution too. There ain't going to be we the people anymore. It is our declaration of independence from the ways of the world and brings us the freedom that God offers us. God's kingdom, guess what, folks, is not a democracy. God is in control. It is a theocracy. Since he created us, then he would know better what it is that we need. Who wouldn't know better? He did not have Moses write down the Torah in order for us to just toss it away. The Torah is God-given, and the writers were Ruach-inspired. As men, we are fallible, as shown to us time and time again throughout the Bible. But in our weakness, we see the power of God shine through. When we make mistakes, we need to humble ourselves before him and ask to be forgiven, and in turn forgive those who have wronged us, as well as realizing that we may also be at fault. Admitting that we may be wrong is not an easy thing to do. Our pride and the way we are taught today is against us taking any responsibility for our actions. Our way of life teaches us to exalt ourselves. We are taught, even though it is not always said, that we can be like gods. Our way of life, our technological advances, our science, all tell us that we can depend on ourselves, and that to believe in a higher being makes us only weak. But you know what? It's in that weakness that God is exalted. Paul had a thorn in his flesh that he prayed to God 3 times to have removed, and guess what? God refused. He told Paul that it was in weakness that men would see the glory and the power of God. The meek shall inherit the earth. We are weak, but in Yeshua we are made strong. The world and even other believers may come against us for our walk as part of Messianic Israel, but in the end our reward will come from the author of all creation, not from the author of destruction. The world will go its own way and pay the price in the end. We are called not to be citizens of the world, but hold fast to our faith in Yeshua and the citizenship that we have waiting for us in the kingdom of God. Let's try to remember that we are emissaries, ambassadors of Yeshua, sent out like he sent out the 70. We are called to be a light in a dark world, not just to those who don't know Yeshua, but to those who know him but need a guide to bring them back to the straight and narrow path. People fall off that path. It's very narrow. You ever walk on a balance beam? Do you ever fall off? We may know that the Torah is still valid, that the seventh-day Sabbath is still valid. It's the day that God gave us for our weekly gathering. The dietary laws are in effect. The bottom line is that we have grace and Torah, and they go hand in hand together. But keep in mind that those who are our brothers and sisters in Messiah, and even those who are not, are where we once were. Remember, where they are now, you have once been. Share with them the truth, but in love and in mercy. Extend the chesed, the loving kindness of God, to those who come across in your daily lives. Don't shoot your reinforcements. Love your enemy as well as your friends. Even if we reject him, I believe that Yeshua still loves us as we are his creation, even though though even in that unlimited love, rejection of Yeshua carries a cost. Think before you speak. But if you do not have something nice to say about someone, then don't say anything at all. Let's close with a passage from 1 Peter chapter 3, 10 and 11. Therefore, he who desires life and loves to see good days should keep his tongue from evil, and his lips should not speak guile. Let him turn away from evil, and let him do good, and let him seek shalom, and let him pursue it. Amen. Amen. Amen.